Who do you think you are? I've done probably hundreds of children's sermons. Most of the churches I've been in, the children are in the worship service, and I'll call them down at some point and we'll gather. Sometimes I feel like Art Linkletter up here, you know, kind of working with them, and we have a great time, and there's a lot of humor involved. But I try to teach a lesson and have a little brief point together. Most of all, it's a time to tell the children how special they are to all of us. And I always conclude the children's time where you repeat after me to give them a blessing. And those words are, you're special, you're somebody, you're loved, you're needed, you're wanted, you're precious, you're priceless. My question to you is, when you grew up, did you get that message? Don't answer that, because most of us didn't grow up in a perfect home. We didn't grow up where there was plenty of money, no stress, no problems, and our parents were always kind and sweet and helpful and encouraging, right? No, I loved my parents, but they came up in a different time, different age, and didn't know how to give a blessing, didn't know how to affirm children. So if that's your case, if you grew up not receiving the words that would have been so helpful, you see, this sermon would be totally unnecessary if everyone grew up in a home where you were bombarded with the message, I love you, I care about you, you've got a great future, I have great hopes for you, how can I help you, you know, we're so proud of you. I mean, if you received that message growing up day after day after day, I'm just going to sit down, we're going to go home. But I know so many did not. And the messages that you received were not so much blessing as it was cursing. And I don't mean cussing. I mean it's things like you never do anything right. You can't do that. Get out of the way. Let me do it. I can do it right. You can't do it. You know, those are the messages most often that we get. And even in some cases, it's the message, I wish you had never been born. Those kinds of messages are given by parents who aren't healthy and or they came up hard themselves and see, they're doing the best they can, but that's all that they know to do. The only problem is the impact on people like you and me is that we grow up with a record player that's playing all the time, a message that's playing all the time. I'm not good enough. I'm not loved. You know, God, you say that I'm loved, but I don't feel a thing. You know, on and on we could go. Now, What I'm trying to get to today is that the battle for serving God, the battle for believing who we are and embracing the truth occurs in our mind. It occurs where those messages keep playing over and over and over again. So, are you ready to go to war? I'm ready to go to war against the untruths that we believe about ourselves. And it is a war, make no mistake about it. It's a battle for your mind. It's a battle for the way that we think about ourselves. It is vitally important that you and I come to a place. I hope when you come to East Leesville Baptist Church that you truly worship God. I hope that you occasionally even get a little crazy and raise your hands or certainly raise your voice and that you express your worship of God. Now, many of you don't because you didn't grow up doing that. You grew up singing these things and, you know, you didn't ever get carried away, you know, whatever that is. You never clap your hands and all that. So you're a little bit more reserved. That's okay, but you can still worship God. But it's a choice. Am I just going to be entertained? And yeah, that's good. The drummer's doing good and everything. Yeah, it's good. We evaluate church. No, don't evaluate this sermon. Don't evaluate the music. Don't evaluate the temperature in the room or the decorum or the carpet. Don't evaluate. Worship God. Exalt Him. Love Him. Express your praise of Him. It's important that we understand who He is, how great He is, how wonderful He is. It's important to be able to describe His character, His attributes. It's important that you can say that our God is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You need to quote the things in the Scripture that describe Him. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. He's the one who gives peace and hope in our life. On and on we could go. And then the names for God are in the scriptures. We're talking about them on Wednesday night. I invite you to come. El Shaddai, Jehovah Rapha. He does all these wonderful things. Jehovah Shalom. All of these amazing names that describe how awesome and wonderful he is. You need to get to the place that you understand who he is, at least to the degree that we can. Now, his ways are past finding out. I know that. But we need to strive to understand how awesome and wonderful he is. Now, the flip side of that is we need to fully understand what he thinks of us. Okay? That's where we're going. What does he think of you? And what do you think of yourself? Listen, we're losing that battle, by the way. Many preachers get up like I do, and Brother Tommy every Sunday, and we preach our hearts out, and we do that, you know, and we're encouraging you to pray and to give and to witness and to read your Bible and to live a life that's pleasing to God, to not do this and not do that. We're trying to get you to do the good stuff and to be a part of the kingdom of God. And some of us would simply fold our arms and say, Brother Jerry, if you knew me, you wouldn't ask me to do that. If you knew what I've done, you wouldn't ask me to be that kind of follower of Jesus. If you knew everything I think about myself and all the experiences I've had, I'm defeated, I'm whipped, I'm condemned, I'm not worth anything. The messages that God has for preachers and teachers and people everywhere will not get through to you. They won't get through. Because you're filtering the message of hope and blessing and grace and service for God. You're filtering them through a screen of those things that are replaying in your mind and in your heart. And I want you, I'm tired of that, and I want to go to war for you today. I want to get into the battle of fighting for you and what you think in your mind, who you are, and what he can do through you. So that's kind of where we're going. Today, we're talking about who do you think you are. If I were to have an accident going home today and I lost an arm, would I still be me? Everybody say yes.
Yes.
I'd still be me, wouldn't I? I could still be me. Well, what if I lost both arms? Would I still be me?
Yes.
Okay, what if I lost, in addition to both arms, if I lost both legs in that accident? Would I still be me? What if I lost my eyesight and my voice, my ability to speak? I couldn't preach anymore, and I lost my hearing. Would I still be me? Getting a little weak in here. Yeah, I'd still be me. What if I had to have a lung transplant and a heart transplant and a kidney transplant and a liver transplant all at the same time? Would I still be me? Oh, wait a minute. My identity, I'm a preacher. My identity is wrapped up as a preacher. But Jerry, who are you then? Well, I'm Jerry Masters. No, I'm not. That's just my name. Well, I'm 6'3", 200 pounds. No. That's just my physical dimensions. You're a father and a husband and a preacher? No, that's just what I do and it's what I've been. No, that's not who I am. You know, if you keep cutting away and slicing away and dicing away and all that about, I'm in here somewhere. That's what I want to talk about today. The essence of our core. Who are you when everything else is gone? Remove all the titles and all the money and all the land and all the things that we wrap ourselves up in. Take it all away. Now who are you? It's important that you get there because in our mind, you are playing over and over and over again those messages. I'm somebody because of what I own. I'm somebody because of what I've got. My bank account or whatever it may be. The land, the stuff, the toys that I have. I'm of some value because of that. That is so wrong. And we've got to get in the battle of acknowledging who we really are in Christ. I was saved at 23 years of age, and it was a profound experience for me. I've never been the same since. I've never gotten over it. You were saved in a different kind of way, but there have been times when I spiral downward because of what I have done, the way I've behaved, the way I've acted, the things that I've said, the life that I've lived has been disappointing to God at times. And if I'm not careful, that will replay in my mind over and over again, and I will become what I'm thinking. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, as a person thinks, so is he, so is she. How you think about yourself determines who you really are. Well, not really, because it's not true. What you think about yourself is not true, so why would you let that determine who you are? As you think, that's what you become, and it holds us back. It gives us the spirit of I can't, and I won't, and I shouldn't, and I can't do that over and over again because of all this junk that's playing around in our minds. The battle that rages in every Christian's heart and life is in the mind. And so we're going to work on that today. We're going to hopefully get us all to a place where we truly need to be with regard to our thinking. I think some of our thinking is stinking thinking. It's bad thinking. It's not good thinking. It's not accurate thinking. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want your mind to be renewed today. I want you to turn a page that's a brand new page. No more thinking like this. Now, from now on, we're going to think like this about who we are because it's the truth. This is one of the most important sermons you will ever hear as a Christian. Not because I'm preaching it, but because it's true. It is the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free of the bondages and the junk and the crud in our lives that keeps us from serving God more faithfully, being a better husband, a better wife, a better father, mother, a better employee, whatever we may be. God can help us to be that and to do that. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above. Now, what does it mean to set something? Okay, I have this Bible in my hand. I'm going to set it right here. Is it there yet? No. I'm good, but I'm going to set it right here. But I'm thinking about it. No, it's not set. I have to set it there on purpose. Get my brain, my arms, my hands involved. I'm going to set it right here. We're to set our minds. And that takes focus and determination and discipline and a commitment to set our mind not on that junk, the things that keep replaying about our lives and our sins and our struggles and the way we were raised and all that. That's the condemnation that Jesus says is not going to happen for you anymore. You are not going under any more condemnation. And so we need to be set free from that. 1 Corinthians 14:20, in your thinking, be mature. Galatians 6:3, for if one thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Don't be deceived. Don't be misled by the way you think. You think you're something when you're nothing. You think you're nothing when you're really something. Don't be deceived by that. Embrace the truth about who you are in Christ. And we'll get to that a little bit later on in the message. There's some frightening words about our thinking. And just as he did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. It is possible for a Christian to develop a depraved mind. We know lost people can do that. And I don't want to go into the details of what depravity really means, what it really looks like. But I do know that when I think about the sexual slave trade that's going on in our world today, that little children are being stolen from parents and placed into places where they're used as toys to please perverted and sick people. That's depravity, and it's happening, and you multiply that over and over again in our world. But Christians can be involved in that as well, and it ought not be that way. We can get into bondage. We can get into being so deceived that we can spiral down. What kind of sins can non-Christians commit? All of them, any of them, all of the bad ones. What kind of sins can Christians commit? The same ones. The same ones. It ought not be so as we seek to serve the Lord in this world. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good and right, whatever things are pure and holy, think about those things. That means don't watch too much television news. It's not good, is it? It's not good. You know, catch it, you know, whatever you watch in the morning for 15 minutes, it's going to be the same in the evening, so just, you know, let it go. But if you stay there all day, and you're flipping and you're fretting and you're getting a knot in your gut about all the what's going on. Listen, by the way, we're not citizens of this world, Christians. America is too puny and too small for you to be fretting about. It's too small. God spoke and the world's existed. He spoke and created the universe. And we're kind of fretting over little politics and stuff. And No. That's not where you belong. That's not who you are. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. It will steal your joy and your happiness and your peace. You see, it's a battle for your mind. They want to steal your mind. Don't let the world pour you into its mold, the Bible says. It's not a good thing. But the battle rages in our hearts and minds. I was thinking about the Battle of Vicksburg in the Civil War. What if I told you that the Battle of Vicksburg in the Civil War took place in Baton Rouge? Would that be a good idea? No, it wouldn't, because I've been there, and on those beautiful rolling hills, that's where the blood was shed, that's where the cannonballs were fired, that's where people died. That's where it happened, is in Vicksburg, Mississippi. That's where the battle took place. And where is the battle that rages in our lives? It's in your mind. It's in your thinking. It's in your understanding. And that's where we need to go to war. That's where you need to battle with the forces of the world trying to encroach into your brain, the way you were raised, the struggles you had in school. If you were the last one, like I was, to turn in the test every single time and you felt dumb like I did, you know, I've learned as I've gotten older, I'm a little bit smarter than that. I've learned that. God, that's not really who I am. I can do better. And so I believed a lie all those years. And so you can't do that and have the hope and the confidence in Christ that we need to have and as we serve the Lord together. The battle takes place in our hearts and in our minds. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Now, you know that he doesn't mean that literally, and so don't let anybody tell you that he did mean that literally, but he does say be serious about sin. Be very serious about sin. Because if I want my right hand to pick this up and put it in my pocket and steal it, where did that idea come from? My hand? No, right here. My mind has to conceive that I'm going to pick this up, I'm going to steal it. My hand had little to do with it. It just sort of did what the brain told it to do. And if I watch television inappropriately, if I'm on the internet and I see things I really shouldn't see, and I'm allowing them to go through the eye gate and into my brain, God says don't do that. But what triggered that idea? My eyes? No, they're just kind of responding to the brain. If I want to look over here or look over there, it's my brain telling my eyes what to do. So don't go pluck out your eye and cut off your hand. Work on your mind. Work on your mind. Let the Spirit of God work on your mind to provide the healing that you need and open your mind to the reality of who you truly are in this world and in this life. I think that most of all, we've forgotten who we are as we serve the Lord together. We must understand that our thinking, just who we are and what God has done for us. There are millions of compulsive gamblers. There are 54 million compulsive shoppers. 10% of the church is sexually addicted. Many are addicted to prescription medications. Millions abuse food, compulsive eating, anorexia, bulimia. Our appetites for sports and hobbies and romance novels and money and possessions are out of control. The battle that rages when we choose to do these things and let them consume us takes place in the mind, and God has a clear word for all of us as we serve the Lord together. God wants to provide a spiritual awakening in the church, but if those records are playing in our mind and those things that we're thinking about all the time are constantly there in our mind, it's not going to happen until we resolve that issue and become what He truly wants us to become. I have 8 grandchildren, so I've seen The Lion King. Raise your hand if you've seen The Lion King. Everybody? Thank you. If you haven't seen it, see it. It's a good parable. It's a parable of life, and we're going to talk about that for just a minute. The Lion King name was, oh, come on, you guys, have you forgotten? It's Mufasa. Remember Mufasa? Mufasa was the Lion King, and Mufasa had a presence about him. He was the he had the mane of hair and all that. He was strong looking and powerful, and he was the king of the jungle. And he had a son named Simba. And Simba was there, and he was anointed to become the future Lion King of the jungle. And then there was the wise old baboon. I'm looking at one of the children here. The wise old baboon, and his name was Rafiki. Thank you, Rafiki. And she's giving up on me already. Rafiki was the baboon's name, and Rafiki was very helpful. He was very insightful. He was very wise. And ready, Mufasa's brother's name was Scar. He was mean. He wanted to be the Lion King himself. He wanted to betray his brother and become the Lion King. So he sets out to kill his own brother so that he can become the Lion King and kill Simba as well because he's the future Lion King. He creates a wildebeest stampede, and Mufasa is caught in that, and the stampede runs over Mufasa, and he is ultimately killed. But Simba was not killed. But Scar, and here's the key thing. Scar, the mean brother, tells Simba, Simba, it was your fault. You're responsible for the death of your father. And he bombards him with that, and Simba gets confused. He's young, and he feels beaten down. He feels so guilty. Scar wants to kill him as well, but he escapes. And he goes to a far country, and he takes up with, of all things, a warthog and a meerkat. Aren't you impressed that I could remember all this? Aren't you impressed? A warthog and a meerkat. Do lions run with warthogs and meerkats? No. He's running with the wrong crowd. He's lowered himself. He's lost his identity as a lion, a future king. And now he's running with this crowd. What does he start to eat? Grubs and lizards and worms. Is that the normal diet of a lion? He's lost himself. He's lost his identity. Kind of happens to us as well. If we're not careful, if our thinking isn't right. Simba is in a dark place, in a faraway place. Ah, but the wise old baboon. He encounters Simba. Along with Simba's old girlfriend, she comes and they start playing and they begin to recognize each other. And she says, Simba, why didn't you come back? Why didn't you come back and claim your rightful place? And Simba, just kind of like some of us, the preacher says, I want you to witness. I want you to give. I want you to pray. I want you to serve the Lord. You say, not me. I'm not worth anything. I can't do anything. You don't know what I've done, preacher. You know what? You don't know where I've been. You don't know about my life. And we talk ourselves out of becoming all that God wants us to be. But Rafiki has a word for the Lion King.
Oh, sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait. You know my father?
Correction, I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope, wrong again.
He's alive, and I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on. Don't dawdle! Hurry up!
just slow down?
You follow that?
Stop!
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
To be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me.
Remember.
Father.
Remember.
Don't leave me.
Have you forgotten who you are? You need to remember. You need to remember who you truly are. I want to make a declaration today, and this is for you. This is a gift for you. Because of Christ's redemption, you are a new creation of infinite worth. You are deeply loved. You are completely forgiven. You are totally accepted by God. You are absolutely complete in Christ. There has never been another person like you in the history of mankind, nor will there ever be. God has made you an original, one of a kind, a special person. Have you forgotten who you are today? Oh, beloved, stand up and identify with what God's word says about you. Trust in what he says about you. There's something powerful about the spoken word. There's something powerful. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. There's something about saying something that's very powerful. I think it registers in our mind, and it makes its way all the way to our heart when we do that. So I have an assignment for all of you. I'm about to share the truth with you, the absolute truth of who you are, and you are going to participate. Stand with me, everyone. Kind of plant your feet and stand up nice and straight. Clear your voice and repeat after me with confidence and boldness. Frida, is it frozen? Are you ready? I am God's child.
I am God's child.
I am Christ's friend.
I am Christ's friend.
I have been justified.
I have been justified.
I am united with the Lord, one spirit.
I am united with the Lord, one spirit.
I am bought with a price. I belong to God.
I am a member of Christ's body.
I am a saint.
I have been adopted as God's child.
I have access to God through the Holy Spirit.
I have been redeemed and forgiven.
I am complete in Christ.
I am free forever from condemnation.
I am assured all works together for good.
I am free from any charge against me.
I cannot be separated from the love of God.
I am established, anointed, sealed by God.
I am hidden with Christ in God.
I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected.
I am a citizen of heaven.
I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
I can find grace and mercy in the time of need.
I am born of God. The evil one cannot touch me.
I am born of God. The evil one cannot touch me.
I am the salt and light of the earth.
I am the salt and light of the earth.
I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life.
I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life.
I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit.
I am a personal witness of Christ.
I am God's temple.
I am a minister of reconciliation for God.
I am God's co-worker.
I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm.
I am God's workmanship.
I may approach God with freedom and confidence.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Let's repeat that. I can do all things.
I can do all things.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
My friends, that's who you are. What we just said out loud to God and to each other and said and planted in our hearts and minds, that defines who you are. You know, if you say these words again, amen. If you say these things again, like, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. If you say, I'm just a sinner, sin is going to camp at your door. I'm just a sinner. No, you're not. You're a saint who sometimes sins. You see, it's how we say things. And we mustn't say things where we're defeated. Claim who you are. Walk in it daily. When you leave here today, you're going to receive this card. It uses every phrase that you just read right here. I want you to take, do not leave here without one or two. Place it in your Bible. And every day your assignment is to read it out loud to yourself. Every single line, repeat it. Now, your family's going to think you're crazy, but it's okay. You don't have to say it loud, but I want you to get in the bathroom, get on the porch, say it out loud every day for the next 6 months. What you're going to be doing is bombarding your mind that's been deceived, it's been misled. All that self-talk about yourself and all the condemnation, the guilt, all that, that needs to be gone. You're a new creation in Christ. You belong to God. We need to stand up tall and honor Him and say who He is and say who we are in Him on a regular basis. That's your homework. That's your assignment. Keep up with this. If you need another one, we'll have more here for you in the days to come. Who are you anyway? Who do you think you are? It's all the things we just spoke of. And may God help us to walk in it for the rest of our lives. Bow your heads with me. Thank you, our Father, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder of who we are in you. May we claim who we truly are. May we walk in the truth of who we are. And may it be pleasing in your sight. And may we walk with more courage and more faith and more boldness and more joy than we've ever had in our whole life. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you need to accept Christ as your Savior today, or join the church, or make some decision, but for sure, just during this invitation time, right where you are, say something to God about your walk with Him. Say something to God about what we just did, and say, yes, God, that's who I am. Say that to God right now. Bow your heads, everyone. Bow your heads as He sings. Let's honor God and let's make this commitment. I'm going to walk in the truth for the rest of my life.